Hello, everyone, and thank you for being back for my second audio lecture presentation. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the first one, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to that because I talk about all of the preliminary research that led me to craft this concert. I also touch on all the performance practice techniques that I will be exploring in this lecture and how I applied them. Since we cannot perform the Wild Stage as originally intended, I have provided an outline of the highlights of the concert program in this presentation. And I had originally wanted to include video footage of the performance in this presentation that demonstrate those specific examples of performance practice techniques. Instead, in this presentation, I'm supplying a little bit of background for 5 important selections from the concert, and I'm revealing the ways in which I had them blocked and how I incorporated research performance practice elements as I discussed in the previous presentation. So after I talk about each song, I'll play a little bit of it so that you can glean some insight for yourself. But before I talk about these 5 selections in the program, I want to mention that as happens often with programming, a new piece of art emerged from bringing together separate works. To me, it was readily apparent that each of these works selected brought forth one of 3 separate thematic subjects. Those subjects were naivety, jadedness, and nostalgia. And we programmed everything in order of the succession of those subjects. So we had our first number about naivety. Tanzlied was a selection composed for the very first cabaret program at the Variety Theater, Überbrettl. Bogumil Zeppler composed it with a classically trained soprano voice in mind. At first glance, the musical content seems to have characteristics of art song. The piano and voice seem to be an equal partnership. Harmonies are relatively conventional, and all the dynamics are clearly indicated and penned in the score. However, upon closer examination, we realize that the song is, first of all, it's modified strophic, which is commonplace in popular music. The rhythms and melodic motifs are appropriated from popular dances, and the final pitch syllable for the voice is unresolved. It ends on a leading tone. These musical elements are hardly conventional for German romantic lieder. Furthermore, the text tells the story of a naive young girl who has gone to her first dance, and she's bursting with childlike excitement, saying that dance is her sleep, her sustenance, her dream, and her pursuit. And this number was perhaps the most choreographed number on stage. We incorporated grapevines so that the singer could appear to be dancing on her own, but also had her practice a waltz step during the number. In one section, she does so many spins or turns that she becomes dizzy and she has to take a seat to sing the next section. And the action of the stage is, in a way, didactic of the song. But it was my hope to free the actor to communicate directly and clearly with the audience. So right now, the song doesn't have any professional recordings, but I was able to dig up a recording our collaborative pianist made of the accompaniment. And I'll just play a little bit of that for you, and hopefully you can hear the waltz idiom throughout the piece. So for our second piece, Alles Schwindel, that I'm going to talk about was written for the review stage. And this song appeared in Misha Spolansky's 100 Meter Gluck. The musical texture is showy and was clearly written for a jazz combo, which is very indicative of review. I was sent this score by Melinda Hughes, and it was clear to me that it was written as a piano reduction from a jazz band. As a result, the collaborative pianist and I took a look at further reducing the density of the accompaniment. Nonetheless, this piece presents a revealing comment on Berlin society during the Weimar era and cabaret's societal function. The text remarks on how everyone deceives, steals, and lies to one another, especially as the song states, nowadays. So this piece fits squarely into the jaded tone, as do the next pieces I will be talking about, by the way, the next 2 pieces. During the Weimar Republic, there was still a great deal of financial insecurity, and political and social unrest were commonplace. Alles Schwindel makes a larger societal comment that in Weimar Germany, immorality is now encouraged as a way of life because of the desperate times they are facing. Subtextually, the song remarks that no one is truly virtuous. The lyrics point the finger at newspapers, politicians, lovers, family members, business owners, and consumers. Really, no one is left out. Preceding the song, original dialogue revealed to the audience that the performer had just stolen something. The blocking and stage direction I incorporated made connection with the audience a priority. Audience inclusion allowed the performer to include the audience in accusations of immorality. In this way, they were fully engaged and did not feel as if the situation was removed from them. So right now I'm going to play a little bit of Uta Lemper's recording of Alle Schwindel. This is the refrain, if you will.
Alle Schwindel, alle Schwindel, überall, wohin du guckst und wohin du spuckst. Alles ist heut ein Gesindel, jedes Girl und jeder Boy, es wird ein schlechter Mai. Es wird ein schwindelig Wandel, Schwindel, alles, alles, alles Schwindel, unberufen, toi, toi, toi.
And in that refrain, she is saying that every girl and every boy is encouraged to steal, and we always tell them to get their share in this society. So it is quite a jaded way of looking at society. Raus mit den Männern was written for Friedrich Holländer's review von Monsummand in 1926. This is the next piece that is quite a highlight of the program. While many of the songs were criticized in Von Monsummand as frivolous, critics agreed that Raus redeemed the entire review. Claire Waldoff, who I mentioned in the first presentation, sang the piece, and while its text is somewhat humorous and rooted in hyperbole, it was very well received as a challenging work. While feminists wouldn't want an actual removal of men from the population as the text suggests, it makes an overarching statement of female power. And Claire Waldoff was the perfect interpreter for the work, as she was already somewhat of an icon for women. She didn't go along with expected gender norms. She often performed in a men's suit and offered really down-to-earth portrayals. I chose, however, to have a male countertenor perform the work in drag, if you will. The performer can be viewed as an ally to the female outcry of frustration. The blocking was primarily centered around audience engagement, and the work itself presents itself as a rallying cry, so we wanted to allow them once again to feel included. At the end of the work, the chorus repeats, and I had intended to have the full company join for a kick line. I'm going to play the chorus of Raus right now and see if you can hear Waldoff's use of Sprechstimme. Remember, we talked about the lack of lyricism as a dramatic technique in the first presentation. So, yes, Claire Waldoff is chanting, "Chuck out all the men." So, the next selection I would like to touch on is Wenn der Atemmode wieder takt, and it was written for the premiere of the Schall und Rauch Cabaret and was performed by Paul Gretz. It was the most well-regarded performance of the evening. The text is highly political and highly satirical, and the overall sentiment is that almost everything is crumbling politically, especially for the working class. The text even suggests that political ideologies are an illusion altogether. Throughout the text, comparisons are drawn between theater and politics. Political leaders such as Prime Minister Gustav Noske are even called out by name. The piece was written in a thick Berlin dialect, and the music is really anything but melodic. In fact, it seems clear that Holländer intended for the song to feel sort of disjointed. The vocal line is really angular and not melodic, and the chords placed on offbeats give the feel of a rhythmic drag or sputtering motor, as scholar Jonathan Paul Struve points out. I thought that was a really interesting take, and you can definitely hear that. Since Paul Grett's portrayal is well recorded, I decided to utilize similar direction. The singer is costumed as a blue-collar worker in the Wild stage, and he enters through the audience, very disgruntled, speaking directly to them. Since there are clear elements of colloquialisms both penned in the score and in recordings, we chose to implement the dialect heavily in this piece. So here's a bit of Grett singing the song. See if you can hear some of those musical devices that I was talking about, that rhythmic drag. Excellent. So you can immediately hear also his use of Sprechstimme really clearly and that rhythmic drag, and you got to hear him call out Prime Minister Gustav Noske, which is sort of fun. So the last piece I'm going to talk about is Alsa Kremser, and I couldn't trace it to a particular review, but it is one of the many songs that would go on as standards that Willy Kolo penned for Claire Waldoff to perform. This song is sentimentalizing times past. The Kremser is slang for an early motor vehicle or horse-drawn carriage, and the piece talks about how society is distracted by material things and the hustle and bustle of city life rather than striving for simplicity. Reviews were performed largely for middle-class audiences, and it is sometimes argued that Waldoff may have trivialized situations of lower classes, but her role was that of an archetypal Berliner meant to unite people, and she really did do just that. So she was, again, the perfect performer for this work. And when I was exploring this text with my colleagues, we decided that it reminded us of something a grandparent would sing reminiscing on days past. And it's not bitter about the change of times, rather it's quite nostalgic. And as a result, I decided to program the piece toward the conclusion of the concert as it mirrored the other piece's sentimentality. Additionally, we pared down the physicalization of the blocking audiences had seen previously. The actor was blocked to be on stage alone. There is no use of sardonic wit in the piece, but there is heavy dialect in the piece to signify a common sentiment. So our actor did make great use of that coaching that we had with Julia Artuja at the Goethe Institute, and she incorporated so many of the techniques that Julia was talking about. So I'm going to play a little bit of Alsa Kremser, or it's also known in standard terms as Kremserlied. And see if you can hear that folk-like simplicity in this piece. Oh, you can almost hear the nostalgia. It's palpable to me.
Als der Kremser noch fuhr raus in Trüne, als der Vater die Mutter gefreit, als wir Polka getanzt, Caroline, ja, das war noch eine herrliche Zeit. Ja, das war noch eine herrliche Zeit, als noch Mutter den Kaffee gekocht hat und der Vater Jotinie aufs Kleid, was ich gerade am liebsten gemocht hat. Ja, das war noch eine herrliche Zeit. Ja, das war noch eine herrliche Zeit.
So you can probably immediately, if you have any experience with German language, you can hear immediately her dialect. She says, ja, das war, instead of, ja, das war. So that is so interesting, and it really is so reflective of the common sentimentality of this piece. So those are all the highlights I have to share with you. Hopefully this concert can be performed at some time in the future, and I would look forward to having you in the audience. I really appreciate you listening to this presentation, and I hope you learned something new about this genre and all it has to offer for performers and audiences today. Thank you so much.